3:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday, and the heat remains with us, gang. I clocked a reading here in the center of the universe at 102 degrees. That's hot. We've got some rain rolling in. It may cool it off just a little bit, and I have some what I think is wonderful news. The unified, united Republican Party ticket, Winsome Sears, John Reed, Jason Meares, will be making their first joint appearance. It's coming up another week or so. It's up in Fairfax. Details are up if you go to the Republican Party of Virginia page, and I'm pretty sure each of the candidates has it up there as well. So you can take a look there if you would like to go. I think it's they drop the puck right around 5:30. I'm not going to be able to make it, obviously, but I think it's a good thing. I do. Will the three of them campaign together after this? No idea. And I'm not sure that they need to tell you the truth. I think if they split up, they can cover the state more effectively. But that's just me. Nobody's asking me for my opinion. However, if you were to ask me for my opinion, I would say, split up, cover the state more effectively. I think each of them brings some really wonderful attributes, and I'd love to see each of them crisscrossing the state and hitting the same places 2-3 times in a row, and folks going, wow, they're good people. They're good candidates. They're going to be good for our beloved Commonwealth. We like them. Let's vote for them. Okay, I think that's good. I really do. If you would like to take a look at craziness, you can look to New York City and their Democrat Party primary election yesterday. We're going to get to that in a moment, but let's go to California first. Now, why do I keep referencing New York and California? Because the Virginia Democrats are determined to turn Virginia into California or New York. That's their goal. Make no mistake about it. That is exactly what their goal is. They want us living with gigantic government and socialist policies. Take a look at their slate. It's really easy, by the way. Abigail Spamberger and Ghazala Hashmi and Jay Jones. They're telling you flat out what it is they want to do. Flat out. I mean, if nothing else, you can at least admire them for being somewhat honest in their dishonesty and their desire to undermine our beloved Commonwealth. They are such extremists. And if you want any idea of what they want to do, then just take a look at California or New York. So let's start in California, because this is the vice mayor of a city out in California. She's an elected official. She's a big-time Democrat, and, well, anyway, just let's take a listen.
Not for nothing, but I want to know where all the cholos are at in Los Angeles. 18th Street, Florencia. Where's the leadership at? Because you guys are all about territory, and this is 18th Street, and this is Florencia. You guys tag everything up, claiming hood. And now that your hood's being invaded by the biggest gang there is, there ain't a peep out of you. It's everyone else who's not about the gang life that's out there protesting and speaking up. We're out there, like, fighting our turf, protecting our turf, protecting our people. And, like, where you at?
I thought at first it was a joke. I did. I thought at first it was somebody poking a finger at the gangbanger saying, see, weaklings, weasels, you're not here. And then I realized, oh, no, she's serious as a flipping heart attack. She asks the gangbangers to come and attack what she describes as the biggest gang in America, ICE. She's calling for violence, serious violence, to be perpetrated on federal law enforcement. That's what she's asking for. She's calling for it. Again, the vice mayor of a city out there. She is apparently, as we speak, having a get-together with members of the Federal Bureau of Investigation to, well, you know, just chat. figure a few things out. See if there was anything lost in TikTok land. Did we miss something? Was there a disclaimer that we didn't see that said this is just satire? Don't believe it. I'm poking fun at the gangbangers. No, she's full on board, man. She'd like to know where they are and why they're not there attacking federal law enforcement officers. It's disgusting. Speaking of disgusting, take a look at New York City. It is fascinating to me. We'll have to get Jimmy Galliano back on, Germ, because, you know, Jimmy is really, really close to this. Eric Adams had been the mayor of New York City for the last 4 years. And make no mistake about it, Eric Adams is not exactly a peach. But Eric Adams, in comparison now to this Jew-hating communist Islamist, that's how he's described, I'll take Eric Adams in a heartbeat. Here's what we know. Andrew Cuomo, who is just an awful human being, absolutely awful human being, responsible for the deaths of how many grandmas and grandpas during COVID theater, kept all these poor people locked up in assisted living facilities where there was COVID, and these folks were exposed to it. They were the most fragile, and many of them died, and that's on him. That's absolutely on Andrew Cuomo. Then it comes out, in addition to being an awful human being who doesn't know how to govern, he's also a pig. Because apparently he was, shall we say, less than professional with female office staff. That's a good turn of a phrase, don't you think? Well, he suffered what can only be described as a humiliating loss. Part of it is that his very own lieutenant governor up there, that Kathy Hochul, the accidental governor, because she became governor after this nitwit was forced to resign. It was, of course, COVID and Me Too, COVID and all that nonsense. So anyway, he got no support from her. He might have been able to pull it out, maybe, possibly, if she would have done it. She did nothing. She did nothing. And it's fascinating to watch the Democrats implode. And far be it for me to get in the way of my opposition. Because I'm a Republican. I make no bones about that. But I'm not going to get in the way and say, hey, you guys really ought to fix your stuff. But I am looking at it thinking, wow, you people stink. Good Lord, man. You're bad. You're bad. Anyway, so I'm looking at it. They just did whatever they did up there. And Cuomo lost. And now they have this ranked choice voting, which, again, is something the Virginia Democrats would like to bring to Virginia. Why? Well, because it gives you candidates like the guy that you got up in New York City, Zohran Mamdani, who is now the official Democrat nominee for mayor of New York City. This is the guy we talked about him the other day. He would like to have the city government get into the grocery store business. I don't know exactly how you do that. Do you buy stores? Do you lease stores? Do you set up your own stores? Do you try and somehow, some way, take over stores? I mean, I don't know. I know John Katsimatidis, who's a good guy. I've had the chance to spend some time with him. He is the owner of WABC Radio up there. That's how I know him. But he's also the owner of Gristiti's, which is one of the biggest supermarket chains in New York City. And he said if this nitwit becomes mayor, he's just shutting down all his stores in the city. He's just not going to be involved. He'll pull them all out of the city. They'll have them out on Long Island and up in Westchester and maybe over in Jersey. I don't know. But he's not going to keep them in the city. And that would be a terrible, terrible thing for New York City. What else? What else does this guy promise to do? Well, he promises to fight Trump. What does that mean? Who knows? But as the Democrat Party nominee up in New York, he's got a real chance of becoming mayor of New York. It's crazy. I know.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So here's what happens. New York, by the way, has a different system than we do here. So this Andrew Cuomo nitwit who embarrassed himself, humiliated yesterday, he can actually run as an independent for mayor in the general election. Well, that's pretty interesting, huh? And the business leaders up there, they're telling him, don't do it. Just don't do it. You're gonna embarrass yourself yet again, but more importantly, you're going to allow this socialist, communist, Islamist to win. And that's bad for everybody. So Eric Adams, who a year and a half ago was facing federal charges, his career was over, everything was bad, blah, 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 blah. Now becomes almost the establishment candidate. And even for those of us looking at him going, boy, I don't know. You got to look at him now and say, well, he's better than the other guy. Yep. It is absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. We'll talk more about that. We have John Reed joining us at 4:35, the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. And we've got Mike Dickinson dropping by at 5:35. We'll talk a little bit about some of the political activities. And again, big news, the Republicans running for governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general in my beloved Commonwealth will be doing their first unity event. And here's the nice thing about it. I think it's a great thing. Governor Glenn Youngkin. Yep. He's the special guest. I love it. I love that it is all coming together. That's exactly how it should be. And we'll get some more details when we chat with John. We'll do that again at 4:35. Quick reminder, the James River Air text line always available to you, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. We would love to see what you've got to say, or at least I would. It's Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 1 second. 3:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Wednesday afternoon. It is officially hot. It maintains its 100-degree temperature. We've got a lot of great stuff coming up. I'll tell you that. John Reed, the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor, is going to be dropping by at 4:35. Mike Dickinson, our citizen journalist, will be here because, as you know, it is Wednesday. He'll be here at 5:35. Jim and Deb in Mechanicsville say, hey, Jeff, you should have let us know that Pixie was going to be a special guest on your show today. She did make me laugh, and we love you. Well, we love you, too. That's good. That's good. 804, Pixie, your executive producer, sounds upset over something. No, not upset at all. She's just doing her duty as an official pseudo-guard dog. That's as good as it gets for Pixie. 804, Jeff, weren't there reports that Obama and Biden administrations were infiltrated with agitators? The whole deep state seems to stink. Yeah, I got you on that one. Adams was horrible, Jeff, until the Democrats tried to put him in jail. Now he's actually doing pretty well. Did you know that the new nominee up in New York City wants to offer free buses in New York, just like Richmond? Yeah. Well, he also wants to set up government-run grocery stores. And I remember those because I'm older than you are. I remember them from the old Soviet Union. They were always so well-stocked and maintained, and it's crazy. But he's doing that. He also thinks fundamentally that food is too expensive. And to make food more affordable, he would like, are you ready, the rich, the wealthy, the so-called millionaires and billionaires to go and, well, just pay more and buy groceries for people who claim they cannot afford them. Wow. If, in fact, this guy wins in New York, Jeff, then every one of these blue cities across America will absolutely have a Marxist mayor promising free stuff. Cannot wait to see the Richmond City-run grocery stores. After all, the water system is fantastic. 804, Jeff, Republicans, normal Democrats, independents are all going to need to rally around Eric Adams or New York City is lost. And then finally, 804 says, Jeff, fake news NPR is absolutely over the moon that an Islamist Marxist may in fact be mayor of New York City. Yeah, it is fascinating to watch that once great city do what it is doing right now. Now, I don't know if it gets solved in the general election. I would certainly hope so. But I was just forced, as I watched some of those returns last night, to think of Snake Plissken. Remember Snake Plissken? Escaped from New York? You know who's going to be the most upset about a victory for this guy in New York? The people of Florida, who are going to be flooded with New Yorkers trying to escape New York. 325, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 336, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Why is anybody blasting the arrest down there in Chesterfield County? I try my best not to just break things down along party lines. That's not my thing. However, I got to tell you, it's getting easier and easier to do exactly that. I know there are a lot of people like, well, we should think about this. Gang, it is playing out so clearly. It becomes clearer and clearer and clearer every single day. And here in my beloved Commonwealth, why would any Virginia Democrats be upset that arrests were made of criminals at the courthouse? Honest to goodness, can you give me an example of any reason, any shred of a reason? Why? I don't know. Tiny Tim Kaine stamping his tiny little urchin feet there. His little garden gnome toes. But honestly, what is he upset about? Were any of these people arrested while they were doing volunteer work, feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and housing? And now, they're all criminals. And we know they're criminals. Jeff, they're going to be separated from their families. It's not fair. Well, then talk to everybody else who's ever gone to jail or to prison. Guess what happens? It's a solo operation. You don't get to bring your cousins with you to keep you company. Well, you're going to be separated. I got it. I would ask you, take a look around at any sort of a detention or a correctional facility. Your local jail, state prison. See if anybody was allowed to, you know, come as a couple. Or you might leave as a couple. That's something else entirely. But no, you don't get to book into your correctional facility for the next 5 to 10 years and bring your best friend with you, right? Your spouse. Well, we've been married a lot. I don't want to be separated from them. Well, it doesn't work that way. I have kids. Well, your kids are going to suffer. And for the record, it's one of the reasons I volunteer as a teacher, as the lead instructor for the Inside Out Dad program at a regional jail, because I would like to help these guys get their stuff together, but they don't get to come with their kids. And I'm telling you now, it is difficult on the kids. Just as it's going to be difficult on the kids of these folks who were arrested the other day down there at the Chesterfield County courthouse. There's no reason to be upset. Well, no reason for you to be upset. And I have one piece of advice for you. If you don't want to be arrested, please don't break the law. It is about as simple as it gets, kids. You don't want to have a negative interaction with law enforcement? Don't break the law. Follow the rules. That's it. That's it. Yeah, but. No. No buts. No yes. That's it. That is the totality of my advice. Don't break the law. And you'll be just fine. You'll be just fine. I have got to share with, well, you know, while we're speaking of this, actually, now it just occurred to me. Number one, the James River Air Text Line, 833-804-1140. That's always available to you, 833-804-1140. But just occurred to me, there are some folks who are absolutely upset now because down in the state of Florida, Ron DeSantis and his folks have taken over what was an abandoned regional airport. Hasn't been used in forever. It's just been sitting there vacant. And the DHS folks, ICE folks, have been looking for an appropriate detention facility, again, for illegal aliens who are in the process of being deported from the United States of America. So Ron DeSantis said, hey, we'll get it up and running. It's going to cost us X number of dollars, but they're going to make that back plus because they're going to have a federal contract, essentially, for this detention facility. And one of his guys pointed out, you know, it's in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of, what was it? It was the Dade Collier Regional Airport. So right where what had been Dade County, hasn't been Dade County in years. It's Miami-Dade County. It's been like that 40 years, I guess. And Collier County come together. So it's just this big nothing. It's just nothing. And so one of Ron DeSantis's staff members described it as an alligator Alcatraz. And boy, has that got people upset. Cut number two.
Now to a new migrant detention camp in the Florida Everglades. Officials there are calling it Alligator Alcatraz, suggesting the swamp's wildlife will prevent migrants from escaping. Here's Gabe Gutierrez.
Tonight, construction is underway deep in the Florida Everglades on a massive migrant detention camp that state officials are calling Alligator Alcatraz. Starting next month, 5,000 migrants will be housed in trailers and heavy-duty tents at this remote abandoned airfield.
As I call it, Alligator Alcatraz.
In a promotional video set to music, Florida's Attorney General lays out what he considers a deterrent for any potential escapees.
People get out, there's not much waiting for them other than alligators and pythons.
But some local officials warn the environmental impact could be devastating.
We have environmental and physical stewardship and safety concerns.
The Trump administration has said it wants to get up to 100,000 beds at detention centers across the country to facilitate mass deportations.
A lot of bad people were let into our country. We're getting them out, and we're getting them out fast.
The Department of Homeland Security says the new facility will cost about $450 million a year and will be reimbursed in large part by a FEMA program previously used to shelter migrants in places like this hotel in New York City.
Do you think that this is a good idea for your home state?
Well, I 100% support the president's deportation efforts. It's the president's priority to get those individuals out of our country.
But immigrant advocates argue the money has not been set aside by Congress. And
the biggest concern is the grave inhumanity that seems to be at stake in terms of sending people to incredibly inhumane, brutal conditions.
An administration official tells NBC News that ICE currently has nearly 60,000 detainees in custody, a record.
Congratulations. Time to set a new record, right? Seriously, talk to Tom Holman. That's what his answer is going to be. You want to talk about a record that has been set? Do you know the approximate number of illegal entries into the United States via our southern border in the last couple of months? Zero. Zero. Full operational control of the U.S.-Mexican border has been achieved. It was wide open for 4 years, and now it is what it's supposed to be. It's a border. It's a border. 804 hits me up on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, it's a good place for you and Carl Leonard to wrestle those alligators. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out where I get an alligator locally. I know where to get them in Florida. No, I mean locally. I always was of the opinion, as I was chatting with Carl Leonard, the sheriff of Chesterfield County, when we team up for these great Special Olympics fundraisers, that alligator wrestling would be a good way to go this year. but I've had no success finding an alligator. So that, I think, might be tabled maybe until next year. Thing is, I do have another fundraising activity which is coming together for Special Olympics. It won't be till we get into polar plunge season. You don't have to go looking for your checkbook just yet. And it ties together some really, really great stuff. As soon as we get the sign-off on it, then I will let you know all about it. 804, Jeff, Tiny Tim Kaine is just a blowhard. Yes, you are absolutely, positively correct. That is exactly what he is. He is a garden gnome with a bad hairdo and a really large mouth. Sometimes there is a kazoo or a harmonica or something jammed in there. Jim in Mechanicsville says, Jeff, up here in Mechanicsville, it is 106.5 degrees. Robin, is that hot? It's damn hot. Exactly. All right. We got some other great stuff coming up in a couple of moments, and I don't know if you've seen or heard any of President Trump being referred to as daddy by one of the NATO people. Can we grab that germ? Because it's priceless. It's like Marco Rubio. It's like he turned into Tickle Me Elmo when he heard that. It's just off the charts funny. So we're going to try and get that for you. Again, a reminder, coming up at 4:35, we've got John Reed. John, of course, formerly host of this morning show on this here station, which, by the way, is getting ready to celebrate 100 years, November the 2nd. 100 years. That's pretty cool. But John will be here. He is the Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor. He'll join us at 4:35 and find out where everybody's headed. I know coming up next week in Fairfax, it's going to be the first GOP unity event, a unified ticket. You have Governor Glenn Youngkin, who's going to be there, Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, Attorney General Jason Meares, and Lieutenant Governor nominee John Reed. So I don't know about you. I'm thrilled to see that it's coming together. 3:45, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
Now, what's the weather like out there? It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot. Hot than this is my shorts. I can cook things in it. Little crotch pot cooking. Can you tell me what it feels like? Fool, what is hot? I told you again. Were you born on the sun? It's damn hot.
3:51, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Once again, 100 degrees. Might be a little bit better tomorrow. You know, I got so excited. I'm looking at the weather thing here. And there was a possibility of some thunderstorms rolling through this afternoon, which would have been nice, actually. Just kind of break it up a little bit. Cool it off a little bit. Yeah, they just took those off the table. So I think it is what it is, at least until we get a slight step further towards the weekend. Then, well, sure, because everybody's got the weekend off. Now we'll deal with some thunderstorms. I don't even know how to describe this. So, all right, well, picture this. President Trump is over there at the NATO meeting, right? And he does whatever real presidents do when they're at NATO meetings. Okay, so he's there. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is there. I don't know, some other folks are there. I don't know, Team Trump, okay? And there's some sort of a press avail, a press conference, a new whatever it is. And I, you know what? Better than me try to describe it. Germ, can you just play this for everybody?
Hello. Deborah Haynes from Sky News. Mark Rutte, the NATO chief, who is your friend, he called you daddy earlier. Do you regard your NATO allies as kind of children?
No, he likes me. I think he likes me. If he doesn't, I'll let you know. I'll come back and I'll hit him hard, okay?
No.
He did it very affectionately. Daddy, you're my daddy.
Do you regard your NATO allies, though, as kind of like children, and they're obviously listening to you and they're spending more, and you're obviously appreciative of that, but do you hope that actually they're going to be able to defend themselves, defend Europe on their own without?
I think they need help a little bit at the beginning, and I think they'll be able to, and I think they're going to remember this day. And this was a big day for NATO. You know, this was a very big day. They took it One of the gentlemen said, you know what? We've been trying to raise money for, raise the rate for 30 years, he said, 20 years, from almost the beginning. And he's been there for a long time. He said, until you came along, it never happened. What you did is amazing. It's been sort of an amazing day for a lot of reasons, but also for that. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think they can do it without you, though, in the future? Can they do it without the United States?
I mean, you have to ask Mark.
Danny, yeah, I will get the video up. I'll put it over on the Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. Take a look at it, because Marco Rubio, I'm telling you, it's like Tickle Me Elmo. He just sort of balls up, and I would never refer to anybody in that way. I mean, my dad, I'm sure when I was a little kid, I called him Daddy, but not for a long, long time. All right, we've got John Reed joining us at 4:35, the Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor. There is a big event coming up in Fairfax just a couple of days from now. It will be Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, Attorney General Jason Meares, Lieutenant Governor nominee John Reed, and Governor Glenn Youngkin, which is good. In fact, it's better than good. It's great. If you really do care about our beloved Commonwealth, I'm here to tell you, you better pay attention to this election coming up. And you know what else you need to pay attention to? Pay attention to what's going on in California and New York. That is not what I want here. Quite frankly, if I wanted the insanity of California, if I wanted the insanity of New York, I would have moved there. I specifically chose where I was going to be, where our family was going to be. And if you don't want Virginia to become California East or New York South, you got to pay close attention. A virulent Jew hater poised to become mayor of New York. And I should mention for the record, with the support of a number of New York City Jewish community members. That's what absolutely makes me sick. It is outrageous. We'll talk more about it. It is 3:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
I know nothing. I know nothing.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. We're holding steady, believe it or not, at 100 degrees. I just shared with you, I'm looking at the official weather forecast, and they just took all the rain away for today. And I got folks hitting me up on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, saying, well, You may want to adjust your own weather outlook there, Jeff, because in Chester, it is absolutely pouring buckets down here. All right, that's 804. And, Mark over in South Hill says, I got news for you, Jeff. You may want to check your radar right up here near Fredericksburg. Strong line of storms. They're headed south. You're probably going to see them. All right. Yeah. Well, that's going to be interesting. So keep your eyes open for that. 804 also hitting me up on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, local fake news NPR just reporting that the social media site was actually John Reed's. They called it John Reed's Risque Social Media Presence. Huh. A couple of things. First of all, it's NPR. So, well, in that case, the secondary thing is really not relevant because it's NPR. It's NPR. Please. Please. It's just ridiculous. I at this point have decided I have little to no time. No, let me rephrase that. I have no time for any of the NPR nonsense. Just none of it. Germ, I'd love that audio list, but you sent me the guest list again, so that's not going to work. But we do have a couple of snippets from Jasmine Crockett. And I am just puzzled at times trying to figure out how the folks on the left think things are going. Are they not looking at the same things you and I are? Are they not listening to the same things that you and I are? Yeah. Give me a little piece of Jasmine Crockett then. Jeremy, little piece of Jasmine Crockett.
I know nothing.
Well, there you go. I don't know what else you would need to know. That's pretty much everything that you would need to know. And she knows nothing at all. And by the way, I think she's finally being honest with everybody. I do. I think it is perhaps for the first time ever that she has been honest with people when she said she knows nothing. And yet the left wants to put her as their face. So here's what I'm thinking. I am thinking that our friends, the Democrats, they really are exactly where they want to be. That they are telling us exactly who they are and what they believe. There's no more obfuscation. There's no more distraction. The prior generation of their leadership really, honestly, is stepping aside. They're not involved anymore. And the handful that are, they're being pushed away. How do you go in 24 years from New York City being under attack to electing someone who apparently thinks the attacks were just, well, maybe not all of that bad? You change the population of New York. That's how you do that. Right? That's the question all over the internet. And people are phrasing it in different ways that I'm not sure are necessarily appropriate. But that is the gist of it. How do you go from what happened to what just happened? You change New York City. How do you go from having a mayor in Rudolph Giuliani to having a mayor who might be someone who's only been an American citizen for 7 years, just for the record? Someone who is a communist. Someone who seems to hate everything that built New York. And I'm torn on this. Here's why I'm torn. I am wondering if there's an education that is possible that comes out of this. Is there something? God forbid, well, you know what? It's not my city, so maybe I don't have any standing. But let's say this guy is elected and proceeds to destroy New York City. Would that change the perception of New York on the part of New Yorkers? Would the very people who voted for him be the people who are saying, oh my God, look how you've destroyed the city? Here's the problem, because there are people advancing that idea. I got a friend of mine who said that earlier. Well, it might be the best learning situation for them. That's what many of us thought about London. Right? After Boris Johnson, you got Sadiq Khan. And Sadiq Khan has a lot of the same beliefs as the guy up in New York City. And Sadiq Khan, quite frankly, has brought terrible devastation and destruction to London. And he's been elected and reelected and just reelected yet again. I'm not sure that there is an educational curve on this. I think what happens, whether it's a Sadiq Khan or this gentleman up in New York or that vice mayor out in California we heard earlier, is that they just recycle and recycle and regurgitate the same nonsense over and over and over again. Here's where the Democrats are today. The Democrats are the elitists. They are guilty people on one hand. They are extremists on the other. They are all highly educated, I should point out. And they are so much smarter than you are and so much smarter than I am. And if you have any questions about that, just ask them. They'll tell you. They'll let you know how smart they are. And all they want to do is just take more money from you. That's how they pay for all of this. Maggie Thatcher spoke about this, right? Socialism is great until you run out of other people's money. They're definitely in the process of running out of other people's money. What happens in New York if this guy is elected? A card-carrying socialist and clearly actually a communist. An Islamist as well, according to folks who have analyzed it. What happens then, do you think? Businesses leave? John Katzenmatidis owns the Gristides supermarket chain, as well as WABC Radio. One of the last guys in America, by the way, that does local radio like 24 hours a day. It's amazing what he does up there. But he's already said, this guy becomes mayor, I'm shutting down my stores. We're closing them up. What about other folks? What about Wall Street? Do you think Wall Street stays on Wall Street if, in fact, you've got a stone-cold socialist, really a communist, in the mayor's office in Gracie Mansion? I don't think so. What about businesses? Because these businesses, big world-class businesses, multi-billion-dollar businesses, they're going to be impacted. Don't you think those folks just sort of fold up their tents and move to Miami, as an example? That's where I would go if I were them. Maybe they move to Charlotte, but the weather's better and the taxes are better in Miami. Well, maybe not the weather, but the taxes are better in Miami. They're not going to stay there. Retail up, or, well, I don't know if there's retail left anymore. It's craziness. It really is craziness, but we're about to see it play out. The only upside to all of this is that in the White House, we have somebody who, number one, gives a damn, legitimately gives a damn, and number two, is capable of doing something, capable of making that difference. I don't know how far it goes. I don't know how quickly it occurs, but it is something that's going to be addressed. I think that's the best way to describe it. It's going to have to be addressed. Maybe you simply see the business leaders say, we're all rallying around Eric Adams up there. It's 416, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. Yep, that's exactly what it is. And we got 100 degrees, and that's what we're going to have. Now, the good news or the bad news, depending on which way you're looking at it, they have, once again, added the thunderstorms back into the equation. Okay, well, I'll take that. I'm looking forward to that. A lot of folks checking in. It's funny. 833-804-1140. That's the James River Air text line. Jane in Short Pump says, Jeff, the clouds really are beginning to form over here in Short Pump. I certainly do hope that we get some rain. Yeah, same here. Same here. Daniel from Richmond. Jeff, what makes you think that the mayor for New York, that the Democrats aren't buying it and it's not from the people, but it's the party? No, I didn't say the people aren't buying it. The people have changed. The Democrat Party up there is well, the Democrat Party everywhere has changed.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing.
Well, far be it for me to try and enlighten them, but they have moved further and further and further. It's not that they're left of center anymore. They're insane. They're absolutely, positively insane. They are extremists on every level. 804 says, Jeff, you know that Bill de Blasio? He may no longer be New York City's worst mayor. You're right. You're right. D over in Hanover, Chickahominy Falls, says, Jeff, we've got a heat index over here of 107 degrees. Wow. It's hot. What can I tell you? I'd like to tell you something else, but that's exactly what it is. It remains hot. Damn hot is what it is. Actually, now that I think about it, it's damn hot. But we do have some of the showers rolling in. I mentioned how extreme some of the leftists have gotten. The FBI right now is launching an investigation, actively investigating three children's hospitals around America over child sex change surgeries. Wow. Wow. Boston Children's Hospital, Children's Hospital Colorado, and Children's Hospital Los Angeles. FBI Director Kash Patel says, with a wink and a nod, yep, we are looking into them. The Stop the Harm database, which is medical professionals that talk about the terrible mutilation being done in some of these children's hospitals around America, says that the Boston Children's Hospital has provided sex change treatments to patients as young as 3 years of age. They have offered vaginoplasty surgeries to 17-year-old patients without any parental consent. Wow. Wow. 2023, Children's Hospital Colorado said they would no longer engage in the actual surgical genital mutilation. However, they continue to hand out the sterilizing chemicals without restriction. It's outrageous. I wonder what John Reed has to say about that. He'll join us in just a couple of moments. It's 425, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 436, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday, and I'm still seeing 100 degrees. I know Charles said 99, which sounded, oh, so cool, but I'm still looking at 100. Now, the other part of this, some folks jumping in on that James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, said we should all kind of get ready, that there are some pretty heavy thunderstorms that are rolling through. I'm getting stuff from, Chester, now up into North Chesterfield. We got folks in Short Pump saying it could maybe start raining any moment now, looking at the sky. Fredericksburg has got some strong thunderstorms rolling in as well. So we'll keep you apprised on that. I promise you that. Announcement of the first joint appearance for Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, Attorney General Jason Meares, Lieutenant Governor nominee John Reed, and Governor Glenn Youngkin. All going to happen next week up in Fairfax. I think it's great news, and I'm happy to say that my friend and the Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor, John Reed, is joining us. John, thanks for being here.
Hey, I'm glad to be with you. I'm glad we have this big event on the calendar, and for everybody who's been clamoring to see all of us on stage and smiling and waving and united, this is the opportunity. And you've heard me, Jeff. I've been singing the praises of Winsome Sears and Jason Meares and, you know, certainly giving big thumbs up to Glenn Youngkin for killing all those bad bills this year. So I'm glad we're going to get to tell the whole Commonwealth about it in another week.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I think it is an excellent, excellent thing. What is it that we're going to see? Obviously, you're a lot more familiar with what the details are. Just everybody gets out, hangs out for a couple of hours, and then heads to different sections of Virginia to campaign?
Yeah, I wanted to do a jetpack arrival because I thought that would really impress the crowd, but I've been shot down.
Okay.
So I think we're just going to walk up on stage, you know, the standard political gathering. But, you know, there'll be some remarks about the key issues that we see. And you know, one of the things I want to tell people is, and I've been around politics my whole life, you've never had candidates who agree on everything. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
Unity is about putting the disagreements aside and focusing on the way forward and the way to victory. There are always conflicts, but you got to put that aside and focus on victory, focus on where you agree. And fortunately for the four of us, Glenn Youngkin, Winsome Sears, Jason Meares, me, we agree on almost everything. And I think a lot of Virginians agree with us, too. I think it's going to be the majority by the time we get to November and we illustrate the difference between the radical leftists that we now see populating their ticket and the kind of reasonable, responsible attitude that Republicans have with our ticket.
The Democrat side of things, they do seem to agree on everything. They're marching in lockstep. The problem is they're marching right off the cliff. These are crazy people that have secured their nominations.
Yeah, I've got to sit and listen on YouTube to some of these speeches and some of the issues they're bringing up. Because almost everything that people don't like about public education, almost everything about high taxes that people complain about, almost everything about the trans issue infiltrating the schools, those are things that this collection of Democrats have pushed forward on even after they lost the governor's mansion 4 years ago. And they don't seem to have learned a lesson. I don't get it. I don't know why they're so arrogant that they just keep insisting that they're correct on these issues that Virginians rejected. But I'm going to remind people about that, and I'm going to offer a different opportunity for Virginia voters going forward. And I think they're going to pick the fair-minded, kind of reasonable proposals that we're going to offer.
Well, John, we were playing some audio earlier today, a Democrat out in Los Angeles County. She is the vice mayor of a city out there. She was calling for gangbangers to come to a specific neighborhood and attack what she described as the biggest gang in America, ICE. She was calling for violence. She was calling for attacks. You saw the Democrat Party nomination up in New York has gone to put it mildly, a radical. Are we now perhaps living in a day and age where the left is just being very honest with us? This really is what they believe.
Well, I appreciate the honesty of expressing radical views rather than trying to be middle of the road during the campaign and then lurch left, which is what has happened in the past. Right. One of the reasons I got into this race, one of the reasons I quit at WRVA, which you know was a great job, and I really loved being with you all and having the show, was that I felt like I needed to reach a larger audience because I could see that there were a lot of people who were enamored by these leftist socialist ideas, and we could lose the whole state. I mean, no kidding. This a year from now, on July 1st of next year, we could have crazy legislation enacted into law that would force you into a union, that would raise your taxes, that would expose your kids to the most radical left-wing sexual ideas. I hope people will be alarmed. And you see what's happened in L.A., see what happened last night in New York, and compare it to what the things are that the Democrats are talking about, you should be alarmed. And even if you're somebody who doesn't really care about politics, you should be paying attention for the next 5 months because this is your last shot to save Virginia, and that's why I'm in this race.
Huge differences between Abigail Spanberger and Winsome Sears, between Jay Jones and Jason Meares. Highlight for everybody who's listening at the moment the differences between Ghazala Hashmi and John Reed.
Well, you know, I got to meet her for the first time yesterday. We were both in Roanoke at a Baptist preachers convention, and when I walked in, everybody looked at me like, what are you doing here? Because I guess Republicans don't normally go to it. It's a predominantly black pastor's convention. I said, why wouldn't I come? I'm a Christian. I think that, you know, conservatives in this room probably are more aligned with me. Yeah, I didn't want to be rude because Ghazala Hashmi was polite to me, so I never want to be rude to somebody. But in the back of my head, I'm thinking, I bet you that most of the people in the room are more aligned with me than some of the proposals that she's pushed. Now, to her credit, we had a nice conversation. And you know what, Jeff? I always appreciate the dignity and grace of a polite conversation, since so much of that doesn't happen anymore. So I got to give her credit for at least being nice. But, you know, when you look at the things that she's proposed in the 5 or 6 years she's been in the state Senate, she's been the chairperson of the education committee. You know, when we couldn't reopen schools, guess what? Ghazala Hashmi was one of the reasons why. When everybody was still doing masks, Ghazala Hashmi was one of the reasons why. When the trans issue doesn't stop and you start seeing that there's this movement across the state to not protect women's sports, it's Ghazala Hashmi. Yep. She is the one pushing this radicalism, and she seems like a very nice lady. For all I know, she is super nice. I don't know. But the ideas she's pushing, they're not good ideas. They're radical ideas. And for some reason, she is really connected to these ideas. And it's my job to make sure everybody knows it, because it's going to be a clear choice by the time we get to November, because I'm against all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, remind everybody, obviously, you were crisscrossing the state. I think you're doing a great job. Certainly from what I see on social media, you are everywhere, even going out of your way. I guess it was last week you had promised someone in one part of the state you would come by. It looked like a little family sort of a picnic, and you had a big event clear across the state. Somehow, some way, you made it to both, which speaks volumes.
There were 12 people at the garden party, well, Jeff, and I had to drive five and a half hours to get there. But I thought, oh my God, I cannot start being a politician and start breaking my word this early. I mean, no. I just can't.
Well, so, John, you have at least 12 votes come general election time.
For that drive, I better have at least 12 votes in Chesapeake. Everybody was great, and I was glad I got to be there. But it was I wanted to keep my commitment, so I drove from Withville all the way down there, and it was good. And I've enjoyed traveling the state. It's like Reed on the Road from the radio days on steroids. Yeah. You know, every day meeting new people.
So those issues that you are hearing from folks scattered, whether it's Withville or Chesapeake or Chesterfield, what are some of the common issues you're hearing, and what are your ideas to address them?
Well, the last 2 days, a lot of people have brought up the immigration issue again. And I think some of that is predicated on what was happening in L.A., but now that the story has broken about the ICE interventions in Chesterfield, it's kind of come home, and I think everybody thinks, oh, we got you on this one. No, you don't. I support deporting people who've broken the law. I mean, if you're here illegally, how many months and years of notice do you need that you better get your paperwork in order? Not everybody is a criminal, like a violent criminal who winds up in the courts. But if you do wind up in the courts, I'm sorry, game over. You're out of here. And what, am I supposed to cry about that? Am I supposed to be sad about that? I'm sorry you put yourself in that position. For the people who have not committed violent crimes, who don't wind up in court, you gotta know the days of you sitting around in Virginia or California or New York or wherever and not having your documents in order, not having your visa, those days are over, and you've gotten plenty of warning. So my advice to you is, if you have a legitimate reason to be here and you came in on a visa and you just let it expire, go get that fixed ASAP. Because if you don't, I'm not going to sit here in a nation of 330 million people and be obsessed and worried about what happens to somebody who didn't take care of their own business. I lived overseas. I know what happens in foreign countries when you don't take care of your visa. I had to leave Kuwait, I think it was every 90 days. And, not the 91st day. You better not wait till day 91. Right. You better get your butt out of here on day 89 so there's no confusion. And I just don't understand this mindset that has, come up in America where this issue, these laws don't matter. No, we all have to obey the law, every one of us. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got to start taking that seriously across the board.
John Reed is joining us. John is the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. He is crisscrossing the state. Now, you mentioned that your opponent seems to be, at least on a personal basis with you, polite and friendly and nice. Has she given you any indication that she would be willing to debate you in an open forum or debate you on a radio station, per se?
Well, that's a good question. I didn't get to ask her that yesterday. But, yeah, I mean, we've got to do that. I think the voters deserve to hear us both speak. And, you know, she's no dummy. She's highly educated. She's very articulate. Mm-hmm. I think she believes truly in the things that she's pushing. I respect that. I completely disagree and think they're bad ideas. But, you know, I respect somebody who's thought through these ideas. So let's get into a forum and have that discussion slash debate so that everybody can have an informed decision. I mean, she's not a pushover here. She used to be, I think, a high school teacher and a college professor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think she's fully equipped to get up and advocate for her positions. And that's what we should be doing. And I hope that we'll have a really robust schedule in the fall where everybody will get to hear that.
I hope so as well. Number of folks are reaching out to me, John, so let me share their questions with you. And the number one question is, nice to hear that there's going to be this unity event in Fairfax next week. Fantastic. Is it going to be a one-off, or do you think there might be more?
Oh, I suspect that over the course of the next 5 months, there'll be lots of chances for us to campaign together. You know, it's taken a while to get this one on the calendar in the last few weeks because we all are scheduled all over the place. You know, and Jason's still got a full-time job as attorney general, so he's really in a tough spot. Yeah. But, you know, remember, everybody, I think it's important that there are three statewide candidates who are trying to see as many people in this state filled with 8.5 million people as possible. So when, you know, it's good form to start off with a unity event, but then over the course of the summer, I intend to be everywhere I possibly can be on my own, and I hope Winsome will do the same thing, and I hope Jason will do the same thing. That maximizes our outreach to new voters, and that's going to be key mm-hmm. to this election, reaching out to people who may not see themselves as Republicans, or honestly, people who've said, I'll never vote for a Republican, but then they meet me, and they hear about my personal story, and, you know, they meet Winsome or they meet Jason, and they go, wow, this is a different party than I used to think it was. Let me give them a shot. And I think that's going to be the magic that will pull us all into the victory circle on November the 4th.
Well, I hope that is correct, John, and I agree with your assessment. I was chatting about it earlier today. There are a lot of people obviously very excited about this joint event in Fairfax, and I am as well. I think it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a nice hit-the-road-running sort of a thing, although you've been running on the road for a while now. But then, you know, you've got three great candidates. You've got a giant state geographically as well as population wise and you guys, quite frankly, can cover a lot more ground, as you said, talk to many more people if everybody is out there in different sections of our beloved Commonwealth chatting with people.
And I also think that for the last 2 months, can I just be completely honest with you?
Yeah.
And you know this, you and I've talked about it. There were people who were skeptical about me. You know, the gay thing was an issue for some people. I hate that. I wish it wasn't, but I know it was. There were people who didn't ever get to listen to WRVA. And honestly, it was incumbent upon me as the nominee to go out and say, hey, you didn't get a chance to meet me before I became the nominee. Maybe you never heard me on the radio, never saw me on TV. Here I am. Ask me what you want to ask me. I'll shoot straight with you. I'm not scared. I'm not going to run away. I'm a solid conservative who worked for Ronald Reagan and George Allen, for God's sake. You know? And I'm with you on probably 99 of the things you care about. We're absolutely coordinated. And I had to put in that work for the last 2+ months. And I've been willing to do it. It's actually been a really good experience. Sure, there have been a couple of people who've been, you know, pretty blunt and it hadn't, you know, it's been a little unsettling, But that's the nature of politics. And you know what? At the end of those conversations, I think I won them over, Jeff. I really do. I don't think I'm crazy. I think I won them over.
Yeah. Well, I have no doubt that you won the vast majority of them over, and I'm happy about that. I'm proud of you. I remain, as I have been since day one, a very, very strong supporter of John Reed for lieutenant governor, and I want you to remind everybody where they go to help out, whether it is a donation. Clearly, it's a big part of this, maybe getting signs. And for folks who really do want to dive into who you are, what you believe a little more closely, probably one-stop shopping on the website.
Yeah, well, you know, it's johnreedforvirginia.com is the website. R-E-I-D is how I spell my last name, johnreedforvirginia.com. Everywhere I go, you'll see the pictures of me traveling the state on my Facebook page. So I hope you'll track there. I really am going to try to be the hardest working statewide candidate in the history of Virginia. Seriously, every day I'm going different places and meeting new people. No days off. I'm serious about this. I really want to be successful, not just for myself, but for the people of Virginia. And I want you to go to VPAP too, Virginia Public Access Project, because that'll show you what I'm up against. These Democrats, Jeff, they're getting money from all over the place, from California, from New York. These rich people are just giving them $100,000 and a pop. Can you believe it? And I'm thankful for everybody who writes me a $100 check, but I got to be able to compete. So that money component, I hate it, but it really is important. If anybody can help me, I'd be thankful for that.
Well, one more time, that website, John?
Yeah, it's John Reed for Virginia, all spelled out, R-E-I-D, johnreedforvirginia.com.
All right. Well, listen, we appreciate you being here. We appreciate everything that you're doing. Look forward to chatting again soon. Keep at it.
You're awesome. I'm glad the AC's working in the Radio Shack.
Thank you. We all are at this point. That is my friend, who just happens to be the Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor, John Reed. I think he's just one of the finest people I've ever met. And I am very proud, very happy to have been somebody who said I will support him from day one. I didn't have to wait for other candidates to say this, that, or the other. I knew who I was with, and moving forward into that general election, I would urge you to take a close look at him. And I remind you that of the six statewide candidates, it is John who always says yes, always. So the other folks are always welcome here, D's or R's. We'll happily host everyone. We really will. It's Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. Yeah, it is. And, well, you know, it's hot. There we go. Oh, you know, we're having Rich Herrera up here for dinner tonight. No, he's not on the menu. Stop it. No, he's coming as a guest. We're allowed to have guests. I checked. I'm allowed to have a guest. But, you know, Rich, since he has arrived, I've been trying to get him up here to try the Jeff Katz sandwich. And we could have eaten it at the Jeff Katz table in the Jeff Katz section at Jake's Place, 511 Thompson Street in Ashland, about a mile or so down from the train tracks and the Secretariat statue. But we just haven't been able to make it work. And, you know, he's kind of solo. Well, not kind of. He is solo at the moment. And I know what that's like. You know, I did that hellacious commute from Boston to Richmond over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, it was years because we couldn't find services for Julia and all that other nifty stuff. So I feel for him. Stuck in a sad pad. It's a hotel. It's a little better than the sad pad that I used to have, but nonetheless. So he's coming up. We're going to have dinner. I've already ordered up a mess of food from Jake's, and he will have the Jeff Katz sandwich. I mean, I hope he's going to have it because that's what I ordered for him. If he doesn't have it, then, well, the rest of us will split it, I suppose. And I'm thinking, given that it's 100 degrees, frozen margaritas. That is exactly what is on the menu. I'm taking a look at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, I am getting ready to have my very first BLT of the season with Hanover tomatoes and Duke's mayonnaise. I listened to you talk with Tom Leonard and TJ Leonard yesterday. That's how I knew the Hanover tomatoes were in. Also, while I was over at Tom Leonard's, I got a great filet as well. Thanks again, Merle. Absolutely, Merle. I am probably going to head over there, I don't know, maybe this weekend. Tom and TJ both mentioned, well, TJ mentioned, and Tom sort of reacted like, hey, it's the first I've heard of this, but, well, you've said it out loud now. There's no going back. TJ announced that lobster tails were $4 a piece. I love lobster. I'm just telling you that. I make no apologies for it either. Why? Because I grew up poor. That's why. And when I have the opportunity to have something that, make no mistake, we could not have when I was young, I'm getting it. So I'm getting it. And for $4, a lobster tail? Man, you can't find that anywhere. And TJ mentioned it yesterday. I did. Germ, you'll back me up on this. I actually asked him a couple of times if he had made a mistake. I thought maybe he meant like $14 for a couple of them. Cheapest I've seen anywhere has been two lobster tails for $17. So these suckers are about half price. If I'm you, I head over to Tom Leonard's and get that. Oh, he's got the tomahawks as well. I should have told him to put some stuff aside. But anyway, I'll be going over there this weekend, I think. John Reed. John Reed is our Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. Of course, John was our morning show host, Richmond's Morning News. As you know, Rich Herrera hosts that now. But John was here for 7 years, I think, 8 years. And a lot of people on this station know John, and they remember John as being a really nice guy. I'm looking at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. And just about everybody saying, hey, you got to tell John no more Mr. Nice Guy. Don't be the nice guy that he was on the radio. You're going to have to take the gloves off because the other side is not playing games. I agree. He's always struck me as just too damn polite. It's that whole Southern gentleman thing. I can guarantee you, though, on the issues, there'll be nobody more passionate, more forceful than John, but we'll see. We'll see. And I continue to invite everybody onto this program. I think that Abigail Spanberger and Ghazala Hashmi and Jay Jones are the absolute death of Virginia if they are elected. But I still invite them to come here and visit. I'm not going to lie to them and say, hey, I think you're great, or geez, tell me about your ideas. I know about your ideas. I've studied your ideas. I think your ideas are not just crazy. I think they're dangerous. But I want everybody to hear that. And I want everybody who is looking at the other side of things with Winsome Sears and Jason Meares and John Reed, I want people to hear them as well. Now, I know we've got, is it Friday? Winsome Sears is going to be here. They better not mess that up. That's all I'm going to say. Look, we want everybody here. We want everybody here. So Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears should be here on Friday. Attorney General Jason Meares, I guess sometime next week, will be back with us. Jason and Winsome were here, once a month. We had them regularly throughout their terms, and now everybody's campaigning, so it's a little bit different. But we'll get everybody on. I promise you, we'll make room for everybody and let everybody visit and talk about things. I've got to share this little story with you. It's from the New York Times, and I know it means most of us didn't bother reading it, but they are attacking Sean Duffy. Sean Duffy is the Secretary of Transportation, and his wife is Rachel Campos Duffy from Fox News. They have 9 children, including one beautiful daughter who has Down syndrome. She's the young lady that was basically sitting on the president's lap in the Oval Office, or standing at the Resolute desk anyway, and he was just loving on her like she was his own grandchild. It was beautiful to see. You remember those photos? That was when Sean Duffy was being sworn into office as the Secretary of Transportation. Well, Sean Duffy started his public life, if you will, on MTV, The Real World. And didn't his wife? I think his wife did as well. She was on The Real World. And they've gone on to really wonderful careers post-Real World. It's 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And they have 9 children. The New York Times had one of their reporters, a woman by the name of Carolyn Kitchener, do what can only be described as an attack piece on these two folks and their family. Why? Because they have a big family. This Kitchener person in this article, which is entitled "From a Racy Pass to a Key Cabinet Post," said that Sean Duffy has exploited his large family. How so, ma'am? What exactly has he done that has been exploitative? Has he had photographs with his family? Yep. When he ran for office, he was a prosecutor. Did he have photos with his family? Of course he did. If you would, show me a politician anywhere who has not had a campaign ad of some sort with their kids in it. Everybody has those. Some of them, I think, are utilized as props, and some of them are just their kids, but you know what I'm saying. Well, Sean Duffy's oldest daughter, who, by the way, is apparently married, she's old enough to be married, said that this reporter called her and said, here's the quote, "One of the deranged questions she bombarded my parents with was if they had considered aborting their first child, me." Wow. The daughter, whose name is Evita, said, "The truth is simple. We're not a prop, a brand, or some act. We're a real, loving, faithful, joyful family." And I'll tell you what, Evita, that is exactly why the leftists hate you. 515, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Scattered thunderstorms, and we're talking about widely scattered thunderstorms. So the likelihood is you'll get some thunderstorms this evening. Some of those storms are going to contain some strong, gusty winds. The overnight low is only down around 73. Tomorrow, Friday Eve, leading into Friday, and then leading into Saturday, and then leading into Sunday, and then leading into Monday. It's pretty much the same thing each and every day. 90 to 95 with thunderstorms in the afternoon. In fact, that holds through right through, man, next Tuesday. That's a long stretch. Again, it's going to be hot, but potentially with thunderstorms in the afternoon. James River Air text line 833-804-1140. JJ from Colonial Heights says, "Hey, Jeff, when you're over at Tom Leonard's Farmer's Market, be sure to pick Miss Pixie up a box of Frosty Paws. She will love them." Okay. Is that like doggy ice cream? I don't know that either one of the pups has ever had doggy ice cream. I think they've had ice cream, but they're not spilling the beans, you know what I mean? They don't talk to the pups. They haven't eaten in years. And the new cat, who this morning I think weighed 105 pounds or maybe a little less. The big cat, Ernie Ladd. He looks at you like, "Hey, you got any food? Seriously, I'm hungry. Can't you see I'm wasting away over here?" No, I can't. Can't see it. It looks to me like you're doing just fine. I want you to take a listen to the ACLU transgender point woman. And it is a woman, although he claims to be a, well, she claims to, well, it's, this is a woman. Strangio is the name. I kid you not. I didn't make it up. And she would like you to know something. Cut number three.
Any instructions in this one executive order, including this directive to HUD, to issue proposed regulations to, in essence, exclude trans people from various forms of shelter system under the auspices that a trans person is an inherent threat to non-transgender women. Obviously, that just enhances the risk that transgender people face in society if we are deemed as a threat to others simply by existing.
Non-transgender women. So help me connect the dots here. Let's go to the, let's get John Madden and go to the telestrator here. A transgender woman is a guy, right? Right? I'm trying to, yeah. A transgender woman is a man who says he is a woman. That is a transgender woman. So a non-transgender woman would not be a guy. So in other words, ma'am, what you're saying is when you say non-transgender woman, you are saying woman. That's what you're saying. So why not just say it? I mean, I know it doesn't go along with the whole agenda and the script and the narrative and everything else, but good Lord. I don't understand how women are supporting any of this. Women are supporting the placement of guys into women's sports. Makes no sense to me. Women are supporting the granting of scholarships designed for female athletes to male athletes. Women are saying, sure, guys should be welcome in locker rooms and bathrooms with your daughters, your wives, your mothers, your grandmothers. And two of the women who are consistently saying exactly that, just for the record, are Abigail Spamberger and Ghazala Hashmi, the Democrat nominees for governor and lieutenant governor. Any of this strike you as, you know, just a little odd? 'Cause I'm looking at it. I'm paying attention to it. And I'm thinking, who on God's green earth believes it's a good idea for a guy to be competing against a gal? Who is it, perhaps, except for that woman there who claims to be a guy, who would say it's a great idea, but then she has reduced you to simply the status of non-transgender women. Let that sink in. 527, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 535, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Let me ask just one question. It's a quick question. What the hell is she talking about? I mean, honest to God, nobody's dictating any conversations. There's not a single solitary person saying to you, oh, yeah, you can't have that conversation with your doctor. Nobody. Believe me, I checked. I looked. Oh, that's fascinating. It's interesting. I mean, really, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. It's a little bit like the big to-do down there in Chesterfield. Oh, my God, I can't believe ICE is in town locking up criminals. Yeah. Okay. Anybody upset by that? I'm not. Anyway, it is Wednesday. And you know what happens 5:35 on Wednesdays? Mike Dickinson joins us. Mike, a real honest-to-goodness citizen journalist, citizen reporter. He's out there covering the stories that I got to tell you, for the most part, other people are not covering. and he's been at it a long time. He's exclusively with us on Wednesdays. I'm always happy to welcome him here. Mike, thank you for being here, sir.
Yeah, as always, Jeff, as always.
Where would you like to start? You want to start with ICE in Chesterfield? Because I can't figure out what the big deal is. Can you?
I don't know what the problem is, other than just Democrats being outraged because somebody is upholding the law. I mean, how is it not common sense that if somebody is here in America illegally and they're in court for breaking a law, that we're not going to check their name out while they're there? And if they're outstanding a illegal immigrant into America while they're at the courthouse, just save us the time and effort and pick them up while they're there. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you're an American and you have felony warrants on you and you go in any court, you best believe if you get arrested in Henrico County and go in front of a Henrico County judge, but if you've got a warrant in North Carolina, they're going to pick you up right there at the courthouse and extradite you right on down to North Carolina if you're an American. So why are we creating like a special set of privileges for people who have already broken the law to be here?
That's the question. That's the question. And to hear the leftists adopt this idea that there's something untoward or it's impolite. Why they didn't know you were going to be there? Well, no kidding. Half the time or more when you get arrested, you didn't know the police were going to be there, but there they are.
It doesn't make any sense either, and I just don't understand it. I mean, if you go to fly on an airplane in America, if your name is on a list and if you got warrants on you, they'll pick you up right at the gate if you're an American. If your name is on a remember how Kamala Harris weaponized the terrorist no fly list, and she put Tulsi Gabbard's name on it and weaponized that against an American citizen. I mean, why don't we go and ask Kamala why it's okay to weaponize the system against Americans, but we can't use the system to uphold law and order against illegal immigrants?
That's a great question, man. I will not hold my breath waiting for an answer to come from the other side, although I'm sure they're working feverishly to address that. You've got an option here. You and I have been around long enough that we know in the Times Dispatch, oftentimes the same people write exactly the same columns over and over again. Jeff Shapiro, when he was there, consistently told us how terrible Republicans were. And you've got an observation this week. Tell me a little bit about yours.
I don't understand Michael Paul Williams at the Times-Dispatch. This week, he wrote, actually a few days ago, he wrote an editorial saying that the new amphitheater downtown at the Tredegar complex, that they need DEI because all they've booked are rock concerts, pop concerts, and country concerts, and that there's no rap concerts or R&B concerts. Well, I don't think Michael Paul Williams has ever worked like a job a day in his life other than just his opines on the Times-Dispatch because, you know, look, it's like Bernard Carrick, the former NYPD police commissioner, said, we're not saying bad things about people. We're just generalizing behavior. And the bottom line is like, you know, you can have 100,000 rock concert or pop concert fans and nothing will go wrong. But you put 1,000 rap concert fans together, people who go to rap concerts, it just attracts a demographic that's going to shoot each other and they're going to kill each other and there'll be fights. I know, look, and I can say this better than anybody in the Richmond City area because I've ran bars and nightclubs in the city of Richmond, and you have to appeal to an audience that is not going to have fights and shoot each other. And so if you're a concert promoter and you've got this brand new venue downtown Richmond, you know, one shooting, you're ruined because no one's going to ever come down there again. So you're going to want to do acts and concerts that appeal and steer away from any kind of a trouble group and that might appeal and bring any kind of trouble there. You're going to want to book like they're doing, you know, book Alabama and all of these classic rock and pop concerts and not anything that's going to attract trouble.
All right, so I want you to be clear because there are going to be people saying, "Now look, Mike, that's racist. You're just saying you don't want black performers." You are speaking, if I understand you correctly, more about age and tone of the concerts then.
Right. Book and Living Color, you know, they do CM Punk's theme song. They're they're a racially diverse group. You know, they do great. They make great music. Book the Roots. You know, the Roots are great, a great band. Book D'Angelo. He's from Richmond. You know, he's an African-American performer. Right. But don't book, you know, anybody that's going to, and that could go, you know, into rock music also. That could go into anybody, you know, that's going to be a problem and attract a demographic, which is typically youngsters. 18 to 24 is the demographic you want to run from if you're promoting an event in a city like Richmond or anywhere. You want to run from a demographic that's 18 to 24. They're trouble.
Okay, so again, I want everybody to be clear. What you're saying is you're looking at the age. You're not looking at skin tone or height or weight or eye color. It's it is that age group, 18 to 24. Yeah, you know, if you're booking a so-called classic rock group that had their last hit in 1990, there's not going to be anybody younger than me at that event. And for the most part, we got to get home and get to bed by 8:30 or 9, so we're probably not going to be any trouble.
Right, or book, you know, people like Nelly or Warren G. People that like Nelly and Warren G, they were 18 years old and 2005, so they're in their 30s now. They know that there's more to life than, you know, somebody stepping on your foot and being disrespected. They're not gonna, you know, they don't solve things shooting, and that's what's, you know, really hurting a lot of these entertainment venues in these big cities. And it's bled over into like sports venues and other places too, where they can't do events in the city because and big urban markets because of the threat of shootings. And if you do an event, you have to do an event that appeals to a older demographic of people, because they're not the most likely, they're not going to result, it's not going to result in violence, unlike, you know, the young demographic. I mean, every shooting you hear about, it's always, you know, some nightclub in the city or some nightclub here, a parking lot, and it's always youngsters that don't know how to resolve their differences.
Fair enough. Mike, I appreciate you being here, man. I know it's a little short and a little tight this week, but that is Mike Dickinson, citizen reporter, citizen journalist, some interesting perspective. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 550, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Let me give you the good news, the bad news, just the weather news. You're going to get, in all likelihood, some real thunderstorms this evening. Well, we're all going to get some real thunderstorms this evening, and some of those thunderstorms are actually going to contain very strong, gusty winds. Starting tomorrow, we are looking at high temperatures pretty much between 90 and 95, with thunderstorms each and every afternoon. And that's just going to hold right through Tuesday of next week. The good news is this. I am looking at Independence Day, Friday, July the 4th, and it looks good. It's going to be warm. It's going to be 90, 92, but partly sunny. So that's okay. I'll take that. I think that'll be nice. Good day to get outdoors. And then that whole weekend, pretty much the same thing. Partly sunny, partly cloudy, depending on the way you're looking at it, somewhere between 90 and 92. And then that weather pattern looks like it stays with us for a few days. If you're looking for a big break in the temperature, that's not coming. But it's not going to be quite as hot as it has been for the last few days. Anybody have the relationship with their utility company where your hot water gets shut off? Here's what happened. Heidi and I yesterday experienced this. We had no idea. Now, we've owned this house for 5 years. This has never happened before. I come in, and Heidi meets me at the door and says, I have to talk to you. It's like, oh, no! Now what? Right? Because nothing good ever starts with that phrase. I have to talk to you. Oh, God. Somebody's sick. Somebody's injured. Somebody is unhappy one way or another. And somehow, some way, it's going to be my fault. That's what I know. She says, I got to talk to you about the hot water heater. Oh, no! So I'm thinking, we just had that hot water heater replaced 2 years ago, if it's that, 18 months ago, I don't know. It's not that long ago. So I'm thinking, well, probably still under some sort of a warranty. We know who installed it. We'll call them. And in fact, I said this. Well, what is it? You know, she says, well, there's no hot water. That's an issue, right? No hot water, probably related to the hot water heater. You're absolutely correct. Now the question becomes, why is our hot water heater not heating water? So I go down and I take a look in the lower level. I look at our big fancy schmancy circuit breaker thing, and the circuit breaker's just fine. She says, no. Over by the water heater itself, there's this other box and this little red light is flashing. Well, again, a little red light flashing on anything is a bad thing. Talk to anybody who is involved in EOD. You don't want little red lights flashing on anything. Now I got to Google it. Now I got to look into it. Although I'm thinking, well, I know who I'm calling. I'll just call Kim in the morning and she'll send Chip out and he'll wave his magic wrench or something. It'll be all better. And Heidi, by the way, Heidi's out pickleballing. She took her gherkin and she went to pickleball last night. So I have some time when I get back from Fatherhood Foundation. So I start Googling stuff. And you know what? Here's what it is, apparently. I'm knocking on wood. Apparently, there are some relationships between consumers and customers, that's me, and your local utility company. When there is excessive demand, when temperatures are super hot, there is an agreement in place, which obviously the prior owners entered into with Rappahannock, that says, okay, you can remotely turn off our hot water heater so that that energy, that electric, is used for more important things like air conditioning. And this morning, hot water was back. The red light is still flashing, so I don't know if I have to go in there and snip a couple of wires or call in Jason Bourne or whatever it is, but I didn't know anything about that. You may want to look into that, or maybe you know already that you have that relationship. I don't know if the Dominion does that or Southside does that, but apparently Rappahannock does it. It must have been the prior owners. If you're in a home and we've got these 100-degree temperatures now for like 5 days in a row, you might be in the same thing. We're thinking, oh my gosh, the water heater is just... And it could just be that the utility remotely shut it off. And as of today, anyway, it's back. I want to remind you, tomorrow, Rob Chadwick is going to be here, retired FBI special agent. We're going to talk a little bit about whether your church is actually safe or not. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Rich Herrera will be here with Richmond's Morning News. Half hour from now, Rich Herrera will be here for dinner at Casa Cats. Have a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.